Welcome to episode number 458 of the Sports Report. I'm Paul Roberts on GrizzlyProductions.tv. I'm with you Mondays on The Grizz. The show is also available in the podcast section of iTunes. And you can follow me on Twitter at the Sports RPT. The Sports RPT. That's a great way for you to interact with the show if something comes up. And we have a big agenda today on the Sports Report. A lot of interesting topics to get to. Whether you agree or disagree with me, I want to get your take on Twitter at the Sports RPT. Good to be back with you. We had a best of show last week. I ran my rankings of the top NBA players of all time, which I thought was appropriate with the trade deadline. A lot of people had hoops on their mind, and we'll get to that in a second. I've been sick now for weeks, and I don't know what it is, but last week I could barely talk. I could feel my voice going. You may remember that happened to me for a week last year. This time of year, I'm working crazy hours. I get up at 4:30 every morning, and now I'm working at night. So if I get 5 hours of sleep, that's a big night. 5 hours. Okay. Typically, it's four. 6 hours is like unheard of. You know, forget about that. That's like landing on Pluto. All right. If I can get five, I'll take it. So I'm just worn down this time of year. And the temperatures here in the East have been crazy. You know, we've had some days where it's high 60s or 70. And, you know, then it gets real cold again. So I don't know what the deal is. But I am feeling better. Glad to be back. Not 100%, but currently listed as day-to-day. Think I'll be able to make it through here on episode 458 of the Sports Report podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Now, when the Pelicans traded for DeMarcus Cousins, everybody, and I mean everybody, all the media bobbleheads out there were saying New Orleans is playoff bound. Get your playoff tickets if you're a Pelicans fan. Well, three games with Cousins and three losses. It's a small sample size, I get that. But I'm looking at some of these scores. Man, oh man. So, I wonder if anybody's thinking, maybe this combination of Cousins and Anthony Davis isn't so hot after all. You know, all we hear about is small ball, right? Put more guards out there, shoot threes, run and gun. Look at the Golden State Warriors. Pro sports, they're copycat leagues, whether it's the NFL, Major League Baseball, certainly the NBA. You see teams do it one way and they have success, and everybody wants to go to that. So small ball is a real trend. Well, they're trying to play bully ball in New Orleans, big ball down there. Three games, and their next win with Cousins will be their first win with Cousins. I also want to ask you, is Magic Johnson the answer out in L.A.? So we'll talk some NBA. We'll get into the NCAA as well. Selection Sunday is quickly approaching. In 2 weeks, that's it. 2 weeks, we're going to find out who is dancing and who is out in the cold. So I'll run down some of the bubble teams. Got to talk about my Orange as well. The Cuse on the bubble again. So my blood pressure goes up. Time for another edition of Yes, They Actually Said That. This time starring Charles Oakley and Draymond Green. Plus, the Daytona 500 was held this weekend. How about that Kurt Busch? I mean, the guy's mirror fell off with 30 laps left. He couldn't see out the back of his car, and he still ends up winning. I was wondering, and I tweeted this at the Sports RPT, if anyone was going to be left to finish the race. It was ridiculous. One crash after another after another. And I know there are some fans that love the crashes. You know, it's like a train wreck. Everybody knows how awful they are, but if you see it, you still stop and watch, right? And to some extent, it's true with NASCAR. Some people just love the crashes. Just like in hockey, you have some fans who don't enjoy the game unless they see a fight or two. But this was crash after crash after crash. Even the Fox broadcasters were saying, what's going on out here? Well, we'll get into the Daytona 500. I'm tired of hearing Major League Baseball needs to make a bazillion changes to speed up play. That's baseball, all right? That's the nature of the game. It's not hockey. It's not hoops where it's end-to-end action. That's baseball. So I'll get into that. And I do have to talk about the Oscars because you know I'm a big fan of movies. It's a great release for me. I told you I work crazy hours. So when I go to see a movie, and I haven't had a whole lot of time lately, I've been watching more on demand. But when I do go for two and a half hours, it's release. You know, I'm not checking my phone. I'm just watching the movie. And it's a nice escape from the 9 to 5, from everything going on at work and everything else. So I do watch a lot of movies. I was a big supporter of Manchester by the Sea. It did not win, but Casey Affleck did. And then the blunder. How do you mess that up? There are some things in life you simply can't mess up. And when you are announcing Best Picture, you can't mess it up. Warren Beatty, Faye Dunaway. Oh, man, they were presenting. I mean, it'd be like me starting the show and say, congratulations to the Super Bowl champion Atlanta Falcons. Way to go, Falcons. Oops, I meant to say Patriots. Or let's hear it for the NCAA college football champs, the Ohio State Buckeyes. Oops. I mean, how do you get that wrong? Unbelievable. Let's start with some basketball here on episode 458 of the Sports Report. And there really wasn't a whole lot to talk about at the trade deadline itself. Not a lot of big moves. But before that, you had the Cousins deal to New Orleans. You had Serge Ibaka to Toronto. And the Lakers shake everything up in the front office. And Magic Johnson is now the president, the Hall of Famer, former superstar point guard. But let's start with Cousins. He said that he wasn't mad about being traded. But then he said he doesn't want to talk to Vlade Divac at all, the Kings GM. And how about old Vlade admitting that he did not get the best deal? Vlade, here's GM 101. Even if you screw up, don't admit it. I mean, do you like having a job, Vlade? Who the heck admits, yeah, you know what, guys? I didn't get the best deal here. I blew it. Might as well just give himself a pink slip. I think that's karma for all the flops that he took when he was playing. I mean, you see flops nowadays, it's crazy. And you have coaches harping on taking charges. It's out of control. Way too many offensive fouls, way too many charges nowadays. But that really started with Vlade Divac. I mean, he was the master. So he admits he didn't get the best deal. But then back to Cousins. He told Mark Spears of the Undefeated, quote, it was a coward move, so I'm pretty sure I will get a coward response. I've seen this happen before. I've been there through all same types. I was there with Coach Mike Malone's firing. I've seen how they operate. I know what kind of answer I'll get anyway, so what's the point? And he found out shortly after the All-Star game that he was going from the Kings to the Pelicans for Buddy Hield, Tyreke Evans, Langston Galloway, and a first-round pick and a second-rounder coming up this year. But he had been told by the organization, if it was hockey, it'd be the organization. He had been told by the organization that he would not be traded. So Cousins was pretty emotional about all this. Now, let's fast forward. He has played 3 games with New Orleans. They are 0-3. The first game with him was a Behind the Woodshed special. They were blown out by Houston, 129-99, lost by 30. Then they go to Dallas, who's not close to a 500 team. They lost by 13. And then last night at OKC, they lose 118-110. Westbrook, ho-hum, another triple-double. He's got 29 this year. He had 21 points in the fourth quarter. Just took over. 41 points, 11 boards, and 11 assists. Cousins got an early technical. He fouled out. He only played 22 minutes. Now, he did have 31 points and 10 rebounds. So he stuffed the box score in only 22 minutes. Anthony Davis had 38, including 24 in the first quarter. But Jrue Holiday struggled again. He was 3 of 9, 6 points, 5 turnovers. He really has not played well since this trade. So New Orleans is 23 and 37. That is 13th in the West. And I ask you, do you still think that's a playoff team? Because when they made this trade, everybody was saying the Pelicans are going to make a run and they're going to be in the playoffs. There are 7 really good teams out West. OKC is number 7 right now at 34 and 25. The team the Pelicans have to catch is Denver. They're 26 and 33. Denver's actually in the 8th spot, 7 games under 500. The other teams in the West are good. But New Orleans also has to jump over 4 other teams. Again, you can't just look at games back or who is in 8th place. You got to look at how many teams you have to get over here. So do you think they will actually make the playoffs? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. The deals Thursday, deadline day, Brooklyn got KJ McDaniels from Houston for a future pick. Dallas got Nerlens Noel from Philly for Andrew Bogut, who will not play for the Sixers. Sounds like he's going to get bought out and go to the Cavs. Sixers also got Justin Anderson, who I liked a lot at Virginia, but he has not shot well in the NBA. And they got a protected first-round pick. Now, people heard first-round pick in Philly. I'm about an hour from there. And a little of excitement. And then they found out the condition. When you hear conditional, you need to find out what the condition is. It's top 18 protected. So the Sixers aren't getting that. That's going to translate into 2 second-round picks. So Sixers fans, all into trusting the process, they've had about enough right now. I mean, not happy at all at what they got back for Nerlens Noel. Simmons, we find out, is done for the rest of the season. And now today news that Joel Embiid, the rookie center, who when he plays is really, really good, he is out indefinitely with swelling in that left knee and soreness. So the fans are pretty ticked off. But Noel goes to Dallas. OKC got Taj Gibson and Doug McDermott from Chicago. Phoenix traded PJ Tucker to Toronto for Jared Sullinger and second-round picks this year and next year. Now, speaking of the Raptors, I do want to get to this Serge Ibaka deal, which was made before the deadline. So he goes up to Toronto, and the Magic get Terrence Ross and a first-round pick. This is all about the contract. Ross is locked up. Ibaka's in the final year of his deal. And I think they knew in Orlando they were not going to be able to re-sign him. So he is gone. He's putting up 15 points, 7 rebounds. He blocks shots. Doesn't block them like he used to. I mean, there were some seasons he was 2.5-3 blocks a game. He's not doing that. But he made his mark in the NBA by playing great D. Really, really has improved his offense. He's made 86 three-pointers this season. Serge Ibaka. When this guy came into the league, he could make jump shots from 15 feet. Now he's making 3s. Big picture, I think Toronto now becomes the second-best team in the Eastern Conference. Do you agree? Disagree. Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. The Raptors are tied for third with Washington. Love the guards there for the Wizards and John Wall and Bradley Beal, but it just never seems like that's enough. Boston's in second at 38-21. What a job by Brad Stevens. I mean, he is a definite candidate for coach of the year, former Butler coach. And I still don't think anybody's beating Cleveland in the East, but Toronto, to me, is now the second best team in that conference, ahead of Washington, ahead of Boston. Because you have Lowry, you have DeRozan, and now you put Ibaka in there. Not a bad squad. Not on Cleveland's level, but not bad. And then the Lakers make a big move and name Magic Johnson the president. Now, I love Magic as a player. He's one of my all-time favorites. But, and this is a fat Albert-sized but, just because you are a superstar player does not mean you're going to be a great president. I will give you three names. Michael Jordan, Isaiah Thomas, and Phil Jackson. All former players who have failed miserably as executives. Now, you can throw Jerry West at me, who was a heck of a talent evaluator for the Lakers and was also a Hall of Fame player. So you can find some arguments on both sides, but just because Magic was one of the best point guards ever, that does not mean that he's going to be a great president. Now, Pelinka comes in, who had been an agent, so he can help with the numbers and the salary cap and stuff like that. I think that's a smart move. But there's no way to be certain with Magic. And anybody who gives you a hot take, that's what these bobbleheads love now, these hot takes. Anyone who acts like they know for sure what Magic's going to be like as president, they're clueless. I hope he does well, because I think it's better for the NBA when the Lakers are relevant. Just like in the NFL, when the Cowboys are relevant, and I can't stand the Cowboys, I'm a Redskins fan. But when the Cowboys are relevant, when the Yankees are relevant, I know a lot of you hate the Yankees, but I think it's better for those sports overall, and I think it's better for the NBA if the Lakers are relevant. Major market team, phenomenal history. So you can weigh in on those deals and Magic as president on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. Episode number 458 coming at you. Time for... yes, they actually said that. By the way, what's more awkward? The relationship between Charles Oakley and James Dolan or the ending to the Oscars last night? Oh, man. That's just terrible. They got everybody up on stage from La La Land and then they find out they don't win. All right, as for Oakley, you know the deal. He's saying that he doesn't believe his feud with James Dolan is ever going to end. He said some things can't be solved. You remember what happened. He was removed from the Garden. He was arrested on a misdemeanor assault charge earlier this month. And then Dolan banned Oakley from the arena indefinitely. The Knicks lifted that ban after Dolan met with Oakley, Commissioner Silver, and Michael Jordan. But Oakley said that the issue was not going to be resolved after one meeting with Dolan. And I quote, "I told them I'd rather go to jail than them saying they did something for me. That's how bad this is for me. I'd rather go to jail." Now, I've never been in prison. My dad, who recently celebrated a birthday, happy birthday to my dad, he worked for several years at a maximum security prison here in Pennsylvania. He was the personnel director, so he hired everybody that worked there. Same prison that Bernard Hopkins was at. And I know there were some bad dudes in there. I mean, you don't go to a maximum security facility for jaywalking. And I have watched, I'll let you know, I have watched The Night Of on HBO. And Shawshank Redemption many times. So certainly I'm well versed on prison activity. I'm not so sure that Oakley would really want to go to jail than say the Knicks helped him out. I think that's a bit strong on Charles's point there. Now, part two of yes, they actually said that. Draymond Green. Some people, don't you think they should have like a delay? Like I'm in the radio business, so we have a 7-second delay. If somebody swears, says one of those magic words that the FCC doesn't like, you can bleep them and it's done. Draymond Green should probably be on delay. Made comments earlier this month on his Dre Day podcast. Then he went back on it regarding the Oakley-Dolan feud. Said it came off the wrong way. But here's his quote. You doing it for me, it's all good. You doing it against me, you speaking out against my organization, it's not good anymore. That's a slave mentality. A slave master mentality. That's ridiculous. It was all fine and dandy when he was laying people out, taking fines, and all this stuff for your organization. But now all of a sudden when he says something that he feels, it's a problem. End quote. Easy there, Draymond. And he later backtracked, saying that, I never said Dolan has a slave master mentality. I said when you look at something and someone is doing something for someone and all of a sudden they can't anymore, that falls under the slave mentality. I can't say Dolan's a racist. I don't know James Dolan. I thought it was unfair the way Oakley was treated. Thought some of the things said about Oakley were wrong, and I still feel that way. Like I said, I don't know Dolan. I can never say he's a racist or he has a slave owner's mentality. I don't know if he has that. That's just how the situation looked to me from the outside looking in, and so that came off the wrong way. What I meant by it, there should be a respect level between players, ownership, staff, people who work in the organization, the league office, former players, it's a family. Regardless of what was said by Dolan to Oakley or how Oakley was treated, and that was not a pretty scene, and that was happening during a nationally televised game. But let's not ever compare that to slavery. Everybody okay on that one? Coming through loud and clear there? Pretty easy to understand, right? Let's not do that. So that's today's edition of Yes, They Actually Said That here on the Sports Report. All right, you know I am a college basketball junkie. Love my college hoops. And Selection Sunday is going to be here in no time. Couple weeks, that's it. To be clear, I don't want to hear people moaning and groaning if their team doesn't get in this year. Bottom line, these bubble teams simply are not very good. I'm a Syracuse grad, and I'm going to tell you that this is not a great team. Not a great team. Yet, Joe Lenardi, Captain Brackets, Bracketology, he has the Orange as a 10 seed right now. They lost to Louisville by 20. And Louisville's pretty good. But the Cuse is 17 and 13. Yeah, 13 losses. 9 and 8 in conference. Now, on the plus side, they have wins over Duke, Florida State, and Virginia. Those are three big wins. But people forget who they lost to. They lost to St. John's by 33. They lost to Boston College, who stinks, by 15. And they lost to Georgetown by 7. All right. 13 losses, and they're getting in. Other bubble teams, USC, Providence, Vanderbilt, Georgia Tech, 7-9 in the conference. Wake Forest, 7-9 in the conference. Tennessee, 7-9 in their conference. Clemson, 4-12. He had them on the bubble. No way they get. They're 14-14. Clemson's got to be out of there. Tennessee, 15-14, and they're a bubble team. Georgia Tech, 16-13, bubble team. K-State, 6-10 in conference play. 17-12 overall, they're on the bubble. TCU, same thing. 17-12 overall, 6-10 in the conference. Seton Hall, 8-8 in the conference. All these bubble teams, and if you're a fan of one of these teams, if you went to school there, sorry, I don't want to hear it. They've had a lot of chances. Now, I feel bad for the little guy who doesn't get in because they don't have the same type of opportunities that these big schools have. They don't have all the games against top-notch competition. But I don't want to hear the whining, the moaning, groaning, the whimpering. Sorry. These teams have had plenty of chances. Now, I really hope Cuse gets in. I don't want any parts of the NIT or any of those other tournaments. But if they don't get in, I gave you the games. Can't lose to St. John's by 30 or BC by 15. Can't happen. And I've told you all season, I think up to 15 teams could win the national title this year. And I still believe that. Parity reigns supreme. And that's because the superstars leave early. How about this? Number one, Gonzaga lost Saturday night at home to BYU, 79-71. The Zags were 29-0, and that was their last regular season game. Now, BYU's not bad. They're 21-10, but that's what I mean. Anything can happen. Gonzaga beat BYU by 10 on the road earlier this month. And Gonzaga's no joke. Wins over Arizona, Florida. What a job Florida's coach is doing. Beat St. Mary's twice. I would still, as of now, I would still give Gonzaga a number one seed. I mean, they've only lost one game, all right? And again, BYU is not terrible. They've won 21 games. So I would still give Gonzaga a one seed. But I know there are some people out there that, you know, would bump them off. What do you think? Zags deserve a one seed? Let me know on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. All right, I'm not a huge racing fan. You know, NASCAR is one of those deals. You're either really into it or probably not. You don't get a whole lot of people in between, but it's the Daytona 500, right? So I'm watching this. And Kurt Busch ends up winning his first win in the Daytona 500 in 16 tries. He was a three-time runner-up, so that's a good story there. The only lap that he led was the last lap. That's it. Had a nice pass on the top side to take the lead. Everybody else is running out of fuel. I mentioned earlier, his mirror fell off with 30 laps to go, so he could not see out the back. I mean, imagine how fast these cars are going, and he can't see out the back. Tony Stewart, this is a big storyline, never won the 500 as a driver, but he is a co-owner of Kurt Busch's car, so he gets one as an owner. Chase Elliott looked like he had the best car. He ran out of fuel. Kyle Larson ran out of fuel. Martin Truex Jr. ran out of gas. The 21-year-old Elliott left the track, did not even speak to reporters. So he was ticked off, but that seems to be his MO. So Ryan Blaney ends up going second. AJ Allmendinger third. Filled with wrecks, though. And most of the top drivers were gone at the end. There were 8 caution flags. You had a 17-car accident at the start of the final stage. Remember, there's a new format now. They broke it up into stages so you can get points earlier on. Kyle Busch won the first stage. Kevin Harvick won the second stage. But anyway, that wreck at the start of the last stage ended Jimmy Johnson and Danica Patrick's chances. And she thought she had a shot. Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s day ended with 94 laps to go. He missed the final 18 races last year because of a concussion. So that was a big story coming into this, that Jr. was back. Good news, he said he felt fine, no symptoms after the crash. He ends up 37th. Kyle Busch was involved in that wreck with Matt Kenseth and Eric Jones. One of Kyle's rear tires blew, and he was ticked off about that. He even took a shot at Goodyear that can't hold air. But 72 apps to go, there was that 17-car mess with Jimmy Johnson and Danica. Shortly after that, Elliott Sadler was in an accident. 58 laps left, Jamie McMurray, who was racing extremely aggressive all day, he got into Chase Elliott. Crashes every time you blinked. It got to be absurd. Even Darrell Waltrip on Fox said, good grief. Good grief. From DW. Jeff Gordon on Fox couldn't understand why these drivers were ultra aggressive with so many laps left. Again, these crashes are happening with, you know, 70, 60 laps to go, 90 laps to go. Don't you want to be there at the end? And I thought it hurt the race. I thought it hurt the ending of the race because so many of the best drivers were done. If I'm watching the Super Bowl and we're in the fourth quarter, we're late in the game, I want to see Tom Brady and I want to see Matt Ryan. If it's the NBA Finals, I want to see LeBron and Kyrie and Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Durant. Now, I want to see those guys. You want to see the best of the best. That did not happen in the Daytona 500 because all these crashes. So I thought it was disappointing. Yeah, the fact that Kurt Busch wins for the first time, you know, that's definitely an interesting story. But the ending there, ugh, it's brutal. Speaking of brutal, I don't know about you. Maybe you're not a baseball fan. I know it seems like the younger generation, not nearly as many baseball fans. I am, always have been, played it, you know, growing up as a little leaguer. And I'm tired of hearing about all of these changes that baseball needs to make to speed up play. Baseball is what it is. It's not a fast-paced game. It's not. I said earlier, it's not hockey. It's not basketball where you have end-to-end action. Deal with it. I mean, some of this stuff is getting old. And if you don't like it, don't watch. Among the changes, they're talking about a 20-second pitch clock, which has been used in the minor leagues. I've seen it used. Limiting trips to the mound, raising the strike zone. And as for that suggestion, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, that a runner be put on second base to start extra innings to speed it up. What an awful, awful, awful idea. Commissioner Rob Manfred said that would be an experiment only in the minors. I mean, this isn't kickball where time's running out at recess. All right, and your teacher's saying, come in, little Johnny, so you think, we got to end the game. Let's put somebody on second. Not kickball. Terrible idea. Manfred said recently, quote, I've tried to be clear that our game is fundamentally sound, that it does not need to be fixed, as some people have suggested. And I think last season was a concrete demonstration of the potential of our game to captivate the nation and of the game's unique place in American culture. We routinely draw 75 million people live to Major League Baseball games every year and another 40 million to minor league baseball. No other sport has that kind of drawing power. At the same time, I believe it's a mistake to stick our head in the sand and ignore the fact that our game has changed and continues to change. You know, among the changes he mentioned, since 1980, strikeouts are up 67%. And I think you have more guys nowadays, they don't care about striking out. They really don't. With the new stats now that people look at, it's not a big issue. Last year, balls in play were at a record low because you have all these strikeouts. Now, I know there are millennials out there that want everything right away. They're used to having their phone in their hand and getting information instantly. And a lot of them have very little patience. And those type of people, and it's not just millennials, but if you're that type of person, you can't wait for anything, then baseball's not for you. Okay, you're not going to like it regardless of these changes. So I say don't ruin a great game. Now, if you want to make some little changes, okay, I'm all right with that. But when I start hearing stuff like, let's put a runner on second base to start extra innings, I mean, I reach for my rusty nail, I start jabbing it at my eyeball. Enough is enough. Let's move on. Speaking of moving on, here on episode 458 of the Sports Report podcast, you can find me on the Grizz, that is grizzlyproductions.tv, and in the podcast section of iTunes with you on Mondays. What a monumental mistake last night at the 89th Academy Awards. Again, I love watching movies. I saw Manchester by the Sea. I loved it. I know some think it's sad and depressing, but hey, it's real life. You know, there are awful, terrible things that happen to decent people. And how do you cope with that? How do you deal with it? I thought it was a real movie. I get tired of some of these movies that are just remakes of, you know, whatever, Transformers or Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or whatever else, or Fast and Furious number 87. I like original stuff. I liked Manchester by the Sea. I also saw Arrival. Thought it was really good. Amy Adams is in that. And I'm not a sci-fi fan, but there's really two stories within the story here. This is not a shoot 'em up, blow up aliens type of movie. Makes you think. Very unique. I like that. I also saw Hell or High Water, which I thought was slightly overrated. I think it's a poor man's No Country for Old Men, if you saw that, which was a great movie. This is not close to that level, and I wasn't surprised that it got shut out. It was okay, not great. I didn't like the ending. There's more I want to see. I want to see Moonlight, which we found out did win Best Picture after Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway presented for Best Picture and announced La La Land as the winner because they got the wrong card. The card said Emma Stone, who won Best Actress for La La Land. How that card got in there, I don't know. But they made a mistake. And let me say this. Jimmy Kimmel was phenomenal. He wasn't good. He was great. And I don't throw around great every other sentence like a lot of media bobbleheads do. He was outstanding. Awesome from beginning to end. Very funny. The back and forth with Matt Damon was tremendous. That was classic stuff. When the tour guide came through with the tour group through the theater, that was really, really funny. I just thought that Jimmy Kimmel was tremendous. Great job. Now, I was hoping that Manchester by the Sea would win. I didn't think it would. I thought La La Land was going to win. So Moonlight was, to me, a big surprise. But the other major awards, not a surprise. Casey Affleck, again, I'm glad that he won. But what was the deal with his haircut, you know, and his grooming for that? I mean, you do know it's the Academy Awards, right? I mean, he had the ponytail going on. I mean, in fact, Jimmy Kimmel busted on him once, said he looked like a vagrant. It was right. But he won for Best Actor, Emma Stone, Best Actress, Best Supporting Actor, Mahershala Ali for Moonlight, Best Supporting Actress, Viola Davis from Fences. That's one I definitely want to see with Denzel Washington. Some of these are in and out of the theaters so quickly, you know, so they can get these, you know, little kiddie movies in there that are going to make a ton of money. But I definitely want to see Fences. And then Best Director was Damien Chazelle for La La Land, who Jimmy Kimmel kept busting on him about how young he was. He said, this movie got 14 nominations, one for every year that Damien's been alive. So it was good stuff. For sports fans, ESPN Films' O.J. Made in America won for Best Documentary Feature. And I saw that. It was outstanding. Really, really good. If you haven't seen it, go back, watch it on demand. It's almost 8 hours. In fact, I think it's the longest film ever to win an Academy Award. But overall, funny night. The ending, I have no idea what happened there. But that can't happen. Like I said, there's certain things that just cannot happen, and that's it. You can't mess up Best Picture. It wasn't like this was for editing or costume or makeup. Not that, you know, there's anything wrong with those categories, but this is Best Picture. Get it right. Oh, man. Unreal. But overall, I enjoyed it. Your thoughts, always welcome on Twitter at TheSportsRPT. TheSportsRPT, that's my end on Twitter. Always looking for new followers there. We'll be back next Monday. Have a great week, everyone. I'm Paul Roberts. This is the Sports Report on GrizzlyProductions.tv and iTunes.